Hey guys, welcome or welcome back to Soap Lore, the official gathering place for newbies, novices, and OG diehard fans of the golden age of primetime. I'm your host, Jet, and today we're viewing and reviewing one of the soapiest, sudsiest primetime storylines ever to happen. Falcon Crest, Season 3, Episode 4, called Partners. I'm doing each episode individually this week so that we can come together collectively and discuss the good, the bad, the bold, and the bubbly. So whether you're new to this or true to this, sit back and enjoy. Tell the kids to play outside or out of sight. Tell they no questions, suggestions, or concerns for the next 25 to 30 minutes. Tell everyone else in earshot. You can be cool, you can be quiet, or you can be put out because we're watching our soap. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is Soap Lore. Hey guys, welcome back to Soap Lord, the live-ish edition. Granted, this is a podcast, so you can't see what I'm doing, but I am watching Falcon Crest in real time. Luckily, I'm watching it on the Amazon Freevee app, so there are commercials. I have 148 seconds to fill you guys in between commercials, but I gotta start you off properly. Falcon Crest comes out swinging per usual. Chase is lying in his bed on his Cecil Kobe. He's distorting his face, except he's doing a much, much better job. Sweating profusely, curls are still popping. He's like really going through it. There's a nurse trying to, you know, help him. His blood pressure is 90 over 60. It's dropping. And you got to remember, Dr. Landry is a scoundrel. He wants to kill Chase. He's the one who told Angela at the end of the last episode that, like, hey, I'm going to kill your nephew, by the way. Since you backed me into a corner, he's got to die. And Angela was like, hey, no, wait a minute. Now, I said delay him, not decease him. Why do we need to kill him? Come on now. Like, come on. Don't do that. Seems like that's what's going to happen. There's a doctor who's punching Chase in the chest. And Maggie's there. She's like, is he having a heart attack? And I'm thinking, well, if he wasn't, he is now. Why are we socking this man in his chest? I'm talking full side fists dropping down on him. So it seems as if he's going to have to go into surgery, just like Landry wants. Landry is pulled aside by Maggie, and he's like, listen, dude. He tells her, we got to get this bullet out of this guy's body or he's going to die. His body's rejecting everything. It's not responding well. And she's under duress. She's freaking out. Maggie's like, well, can we wait for Michael? Who's cousin doctor, by the way. And Dr. Landry says, yeah, we can wait for Michael. We can even wait for Chase to die. It's all up to you, babe. You just tell me. Angela is trying her very best to intimidate the sheriff to let Julia, who's in county jail. I thought she was in prison, but she's actually in county jail. She seems to be doing just fine, but Angela's like, this girl's not in her right mind. She's liable to say something to get me locked up. She has that on her plate, right? She not only has that, then she has the fact that Chase is lying in the balance. He may die very soon. And Philip, is that his name? I always get the lawyers mixed up. Philip is telling her, hey, just play it cool. The last thing we need is extra attention on ourselves. We don't need anything that's going to draw the police back to us. So be cool, be quiet. If Landry has to do what he has to do, so be it. She's not feeling very good about it. Meanwhile, Julia is in jail. And she's visited by her brother, Richard, who brings her an orchid. And the psychological games on this episode or in this show, period, are top notch. He's visiting her and he's letting her know that, hey, you're my sister. I still love you. I'm bringing you this orchid because once upon a time, Carlo was telling me he was basically comparing you to an orchid. Now, I used to send Emma roses, but somehow that just didn't seem right to you. So she's all sorts of intrigued. And what he's basically doing is buttering her up. He wants to make sure that she's still on his side so that when the time comes, she will destroy Angela by any means necessary. She also, Julia that is, destroys the psychiatrist, aka the shrink who's sent to talk to her. Now this is in 1981-82, so apparently you could have your shrink in your cell, or at least you can on a soap opera. He's a very goofy looking man who sucks at his job. He tries to provoke her by saying, you know, how do you really feel, Julia? What if someone came in here and stole this orchid? And she's back to her cuteness. Like, well, it would be wrong. She's very timid again. She's very shy, like I thought she was originally. She's back to that. And what he's trying to do is see if she's going to snap. But it seems like she's back to normal. She doesn't seem to be causing any problems with anyone else. She doesn't seem to be a danger to anyone other than the people who are already dead at this point. Meanwhile, Dr. Cousin and the handsome black doctor are chit-chatting in the x-ray room, and they're looking over Chase's x-rays, and Dr. Cousin and the black doctor, they're both looking at it, and they're like, yeah, okay, the bullet has fragmented. The last thing we want to do is mess with that because we could paralyze him. But Dr. Cousins, aka Michael, is looking at the lungs, and he's like, I think the fever's from pneumonia. It's not from the infection, so there's actually no reason to do that. He convinces his homeboy, the black doctor, to cancel the surgery, and Landry's big mad about it. Canceling the surgery turns out to be just the ticket. Chase is on the mend, he's feeling better, and he's craving all the things. He wants chocolate chip cookies, lemon meringue pie, key lime pie. He wants all the things. And Dr. Cousins has been convinced by Maggie to stay because he has a family now. You don't have to worry about running off. We are your family. We want you around. And you know what? They're not the only ones. Emma has developed somewhat of a crush on him. You notice this first at dinner where, okay, before we get into dinner, I assume Dynasty has a legacy of being like they're dressed to impress. Their drip is unfadable. Falcon Crest should be noted. I'll say that Dallas, they dress really nicely as well, but it's nothing like what you see on Dynasty and on Falcon Crest. There are sequins. Angela was just at dinner with a silver and white sequin fur coat. Make that make sense. Actually, it was a sequin coat, fur lined. She's wearing all white. When they sat down for dinner, she was wearing gold sequins and like a sheer sleeve. Melissa had on a slip dress with sequins. Emma was dressed to the nines. These people get up and they get dressed. Granted, their story, because they work in a wine vineyard, they have to be a little bit dirty sometimes. They have to wear pants and things, but Falcon Crest got up and got dressed. Anyway, at dinner, you can tell that Emma is impressed by Cousin Michael. And then she goes to visit Chase at the hospital, and Cousin Michael shows up, and she gets all sorts of flustered. So I'm like, oh my goodness, are we going to see some sort of love interest, some sort of storyline between the two of them? I really, really hope so. Now, when we just spoke about Julia, I told you guys she's fine. She seems normal. And her psychiatrist agrees there's no way she's not going to be able to be put on the stand. That's what Philip and Angela were hoping for, that she'd be ruled incompetent, but she's not. And because of Chase being on the mend, Dr. Landry is reaching out to Angela because he can no longer say that Chase is incompetent. Not to worry, though. She's already let him know, I have everything I want from you. You can try to stop this, but you'll just plagiarize yourself. And either way, my hands are clean. Philip has worked up a deal, or an idea at least, to have Angela declared the full owner or full runner of Falcon Crest for at least 1 year. And they'll do as much as they can within 1 year to 6 months, however long the terms are. They feel like the judge will give her at least 6 months, but they're hoping for a year. And what they're hoping is that after that time, they will have made so many changes that Chase won't be able to keep up with it. Meanwhile, Chase is on his Rocky Five. He's going to physical therapy. His legs are twitching. His toes are moving. There's this whole Rocky sequence with music where they put him in a three-leaf clover looking pool in the shortest of shorts. I don't know why. I'm kind of wondering, actually, why shorts became so long. Because if you look at people, boys, men, from like the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, those shorts are super, super short. And then all of a sudden, they're down to your ankles. I don't know. I'm happy with the happy medium, and you wear what makes you comfortable, but it seemed to be very normal to wear what we used to call coochie cutters for men back in the day. There's a picture of my dad in some little bitty red shorts, and there's a picture of my father-in-law in some little bitty like yellow shorts. So it was the norm. Anyway, Chase is sweating his way back to health. He is fighting for not only his family, for the vineyard, but for his right to walk, it looks like he's going to be fine. Looks like the bullet hasn't actually hit anything. We're about 30 minutes into the show. There's 18 minutes left, and it's not dragging, but it is a little bit of a slower pace, but you expect this from Falcon Crest. I know this season they're doing things a little bit more rapidly, but in general, it's always been a slow burn with a really big payoff at the end. The only other thing worth mentioning at this point is that Richard has suddenly got eyes for his new Diana. I forget her name. He tries to take her out to dinner, but she got a man. She's not interested. She's in her business. She's on her business. So we'll see how that turns out. He has suddenly decided that after her pervert husband decided he wanted to continue sleeping with his ex-wife, not only is she divorcing him, but she's going to go ahead and move back to New York. Her brother, Cole, convinces her to tell her parents with the quickness, the sooner the better, rip the Band-Aid off. She's having these reflective moments, and she's decided that over the last 2 years, she's been doing things for other people. It's time she do things for herself. Now, I did mention on one episode that her name is no longer, I think her name is Jamie Lynn, something like, I don't know her name, Jamie. I'm pretty sure, Jamie Rose. Her name is no longer included with the other actors at the very beginning. It's like once the show, you know, before the show starts, they have the swelling music. They name all the actors. And then once the show starts, it goes also starring Jamie Rose. So my guess is that she either found another show to be on. It doesn't seem like they wanted to just cut her out because they would have done that already. But it seems like maybe she's working on something else and they're leaving the door open for her to come back. They don't really know one way or another what to do with her. But it seems like she's going to be leaving pretty soon. And I'm not all that surprised. None of her storylines have been that interesting. But it's like the people she's with are way more interesting. That kid she almost married. And that's another thing. She's almost been married once. She's been engaged twice, actually married once, and now she's divorced, all within 2 seasons, and we still don't really care what she does. She's just not all that interesting, and I think bringing in Melissa, yeah, people are probably just more interested in Melissa. So I do hope she leaves and she comes back to something a little more exciting. Speaking of Melissa, she decides to pay Richard a visit at his office, and his new Diana, her name is Miss Lynch. I can't remember her first name. I don't know if he says it this episode. But Miss Lynch is in the office, and he tells Melissa, no, we're not going to have a private meeting. Miss Lynch has my full confidence. Anything you can say to me, you can say in front of her. He offers to buy her grapes, which I guess is a weird move because nobody buys, I forgot the word, but it's basically with produce, you don't assume that someone's going to, you know, grow 10,000 pounds of anything. Like, you don't just go ahead and say, okay, well, I'll buy it this year. You actually have 8,000 pounds of this fruit. Next year, I'm going to assume you're going to have 10,000 pounds and I'm going to write a check for it. Like, it's very risky. And they mentioned this a couple times. I guess they call it future shares. So when he makes this offer to Melissa, even she's like, dude, that's not very smart. Nobody does this in wine. It's too risky. He's like, don't worry about it. Just do it. He's doing this because Philip is so trifling. Philip is so trifling. And he also doesn't blink. Remember a couple episodes back where he was telling Angela how much he loved her and that he's always been devoted to her and he's always going to do the right thing for Falcon Crest? Remember that? So that he can take her on these trips and all these things. Well, he's still working for Richard. And Philip has told Richard to buy up all these future shares that way. It's the most conservative way to ice Angela out. So back to this meeting with Melissa. She thinks it's weird, but she's going to take the money because, like, I mean, what else is she going to do? She then tells him she has an appointment with a doctor and it's because she's pregnant with his baby. Now he's smirking like, oh, okay, that's cool. So she leaves and Miss Lynch is like, congratulations. And Richard said, girl, that ain't my baby. I am not the father. You can take that to Maury. I had a vasectomy many moons ago. She's playing me. She's trying to get the news, which I'm so glad they said because her and Lance have been together many, many times ever since since they've been together, they've been together. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. I don't know what game she's playing, but it seems like he's going to play along for just a little bit. All right. So the last scene is the actual court hearing where Philip and Angela are hoping to gain all of the working whatever. They want to run Falcon Crest. Now Chase is still on the mend. He's still in the hospital. It's looking like he can't make it, but they put Dr. Cousin on the stand. And Dr. Cousin goes on to tell everyone, you know, he's his doctor now. Dr. Landry isn't there, so that's good. So there's no chance of anybody basically giving a false report on Chase. Chase. Forget his name. Dr. Cousins explains the whole shooting and his spinal injury being avoided and that he's in physical therapy. He's looking good. Everything looks great. So Philip cross-examines him, and Philip's thing is like, well, you didn't actually take the bullet out, right, Dr. Cousin? No, I didn't take it out. Didn't need to do it, Philip. So in the future, he could relapse, right? Dr. Cousins, look, it's unlikely, but I mean, technically, sure, could happen. Philip then tries to build a case and say, you know what, Your Honor, this is only, he's only okay now, but technically anything could happen in the future. We just don't want to make that risk. We don't want to do this. And if he could walk, then he would be here. As you can see, he's clearly not. So let's move on. The judge is agreeing with him, like, well, yeah, I guess you're kind of right. So right as she's about to grant them 1 year's worth of running the business, in rolls the aviator Adonis. He has brushed out his curls. Him and Angela actually have the exact same hairstyle, which she gasps as he rolls into the door. He's in a wheelchair. Maggie's pushing him. But I'm sure that her first thought, Angela's, was like, I know he did not use my roller set. I know he did not use my blow dryer. He definitely did. He's wearing like a silvery white Miami Vice suit. Maggie's dressed in white, I think. She's behind him, so I'm not really looking at her, you know. It's Aviator Adonis. He rolls into the court, and the judge is like, oh, okay, hey, so you're here. What do you have to say for yourself? He gives a little speech. I can't remember what he says, but Philip stands up. Oh, I know what he says. So Chase says, you know, yeah, I may be in a wheelchair right now, but so was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I'm like, oh, no, he didn't bring up a president. That was a great move. I hadn't thought about it at all. I didn't know what he was going to say, but that's a great point. If you can be in a wheelchair and run a country, which you can, why wouldn't you be able to run a vineyard? I don't think anyone would have the audacity in 2023 to even assume that you couldn't run a vineyard, because it's not like he's doing it by himself. It's not like you need to climb anything. There's people who are hired. You just need his mind. Incapacitated to me means mentally you're not able to function. And that's never been the case. Well, Philip stands up to cross-examine him, and he's like, you know what? Cool, yeah. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was in a wheelchair, but he would even stand up. Can you stand up, Chase? And Chase turns around to Maggie, and he's like, baby, hand me my Forrest Gumps. And his Forrest Gumps are those little arm braces. He had leg braces on. He probably still does. But he gets those little arm braces, and he is able to, at the very least, rise up. So Angela, Philip, Cousin Michael, Maggie, and Judge Judy can all see his Miami Vice suit in all its glory. He stands up, and that's good enough for Judge Judy. I don't know Judge's name. She's like, oh, yep, that works for me. You're not incapacitated. Everything stands as is. The end. That's it for that episode. Of course, there were other small tidbits about Julia. Julia is 1,000% not cooperating with Philip. Angela doesn't understand why she doesn't. Julia took her off the visitation list or something. Angela can't imagine why she would do such a thing, but that's a topic for a whole nother day. So that's it, guys. That's all three episodes. I hope you listened to Dynasty Dallas in addition to Falcon Crest. Next episode, we're going to go ahead and break down the good, the bad, the bold, and the bubbly, and crown one of these guys the soapiest and bubbliest of the week. Remember to mind your business, stay hydrated, especially in these warmer months. Stay moisturized and keep all of your drama on TV.